34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
Well, it's good to see everyone out this morning. With this lesson this morning, I'm going to begin a new series for the early service when I am in charge of the speaking. We're going to be looking each week at one of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments hold a very special place in biblical revelation. For much of the religious world, they are elevated to a place of extreme importance. On the other hand, oftentimes those of us in the church, realizing that our salvation comes through the grace of God and that we are saved not by keeping of the law but by accepting the gospel and following the commands of Jesus, perhaps we do not focus upon these as often as we should. And so in this series, what I'm going to do is look at these commandments for what they are, which I think is they are the foundation principles of God's code of conduct for human beings and how we are to approach Him and how we are to approach our lives with other people. However, to begin the series, I'm going to be in the New Testament. I thank Jim for reading that passage for us because it's this passage of Scripture that I think sets the foundation for a proper study of the Ten Commandments, which are found in the Old Testament. So had Brother Jim read to us from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. I'm sure that's a very familiar text. The incident that is described in the verses that Brother Jim read occurred during the last week of Jesus' life after he has entered Jerusalem in what we call the triumphal entry. Early in the week, and as things go on through the week, they get worse and worse and ultimately end with his enemies putting him to death upon the cross. And then a new week begins with his resurrection from the dead. But leading up to this conversation, the chief priests and the elders have challenged Jesus' authority. One of the first things he did on the day after he entered Jerusalem was what we call cleansing the temple, where he overthrew the merchants and their tables and all of that and drove them out of the temple area proper. And the chief priests and the elders simply said, "Who gave you the authority to do this?" And so there's a discussion of his authority in Matthew chapter 21. And then later in the, as time goes by, both the Pharisees and the Sadducees challenge Jesus with questions that are designed to trap him and engage him in controversy and perhaps lessen his influence on other people who had been attracted to his teaching. The Pharisees ask him a question about paying taxes to Caesar in Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. And after that, the Sadducees asked Jesus about marriage and the resurrection, the famous story they put before him of a woman who had seven husbands. Who's she going to belong to in the resurrection? And Jesus responded to that. Rather than Jesus being silenced by his enemies and their challenges and their questions, Matthew records for us in Matthew 23:33 that his answers astonished those who had witnessed these exchanges between Jesus and his various enemies. The people have responded favorably to Jesus. So the Pharisees make this one final attempt to question Jesus, and that's our text for this morning. And so the question is asked to him, which is the great commandment of the law? And so the first thing we're going to think about for just a minute is, well, why would somebody ask that question? And I think there's really two possible answers to that question of why the question was asked. The one is that it was simply one more test being put to Jesus, one more attempt, much as Matthew observes in verse 22 and chapter 22 and verse 15, that the Pharisees went out and plotted together how they might trap him in what he said. So the priest had failed in their challenge. He'd answered the Pharisees' first question. He'd answered the Sadducees' question. The people obviously were pleased with the things that Jesus had said. So here's one more attempt to get him to answer a question that if you said, which one of these is most important, that just leads itself to controversy and criticism. Our world is full of that in politics, maybe in religion, just in everyday life. You see somebody, if you're on social media, Facebook, will, you know, ask a question, bacon or sausage? Well, who cares? I'll eat both, you know. But then you hear all the people starting coming in on the side of one or the other. Or they'll ask the question, you know, who's the best basketball player of all time? Who's the best singer of all time? All that does is create many answers. And no matter what the person says, you can challenge it and say, I don't think you're right about that. And so you could see one of the Ten Commandments, which of the commandments is the best one or the important one, that just lends itself to that kind of a situation. There is a second possibility that we can't derive from Matthew's account, but over in Mark's parallel account, in Mark chapter 12, verse 28, Mark observes, one of the scribes came and heard them arguing. So he heard all of these controversies. And recognizing that he had answered them well, he asked himself, what commandment is the foremost of all? And so Mark gives us this background that the person who asked this question had heard the previous questions and Jesus' response, and he was impressed with that. And he asked this question. That really doesn't totally clear up the question of why, but I simply point it out because this unknown scribe or unnamed scribe could have thought, well, they just aren't good enough at asking him the questions. I've got the one he can't answer. Or he could have been saying, he is amazing in the way he answers these questions. I've always wondered about this, so let me ask him this question. The reason why I bring all this up is to point out to us that sometimes the motives of those asking a question or even the motives of those engaging in an argument is not important. Mark indicates that the question was from a knowledgeable person who had recognized how well Jesus had answered the other question. And the reason why sometimes their motive is not important, and it's really immaterial in this case, is that the answer is for the audience. The answer is for those that are listening. And those who are seeking truth can benefit from the discussion, can benefit from what goes on. Now, what we can observe in this passage is Jesus' own answer. And what he does is he bypasses what I think is the obvious point of the question, which of the commandments, the Ten Commandments, which one of those is the most important? And he goes to the answer that I think we're all familiar with. He says, the great commandment is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. Now, that is not one of the Ten Commandments given to Moses in the book of Exodus, but that is from Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. So it is a commandment of the law. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then he says there's another one that's second to it, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there Jesus is quoting from Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. But then Jesus adds the statement in response to this Pharisee that is really the whole point of this introductory lesson this morning. And that is, he says, on these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. And that's reading from the New American Standard, which is what I normally read from. I think we get a better picture here, and there's nothing wrong with the word depend. That's actually the meaning. But if you are familiar with the old King James, it says, upon on this hang all of the law and the prophets. And so the point of that is that this is the very literal translation of the Greek word that Jesus used. And the literal meaning of the word is hang. But most of our modern translations will use the word depend. But I want us to see the sense of this because I think it's very important when we go back and start studying the commandments. This is interesting that the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament illustrates the meaning of the word hang in Greek. And this is the illustration that they use. If you drive a nail into a wall, and then you hang something on that nail. That's the literal word that Jesus uses. The object that you hanged is totally dependent upon the nail holding in place. And there may be some of us in the audience who have never experienced this, but I think that many of us have had that experience. When we have hung something on the wall, and then at some point, it comes crashing down because the nail hasn't hung properly. I guess the right English is it didn't hang properly. Jesus said that's the relationship between these two commandments and everything else in the law of Moses. That everything depends upon these two. You hang them upon these two basic principles. And that's what's important to our understanding about the relationship between these great commandments and the Ten Commandments. Each of the Ten Commandments is based upon one or the other of these two great commandments. The first four of the Ten Commandments elaborate upon the first great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the final six of the Ten Commandments addresses our relationship with one another. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean in practical everyday living? But I want to suggest that it's even more than that. All of the other laws and ordinances of the Old Testament, of the law of Moses, are extensions of these Ten Commandments. This is what it looks like. If I was more artistic, I would have put hooks on here so you could have seen it hanging. But I'm not that good, so, you know. The two great commandments are you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You love your neighbor as yourself. And all 10 of the 10 commandments depend upon those two, hang from those two. Then if you go further, all of the laws and ordinances, and this study is not intended to go into all those laws or ordinances, but if you take the time to read the book of Leviticus and the book of Deuteronomy, what you will find that what I have represented by these little boxes below are individual laws and individual. They will move up through this, and ultimately they will illustrate one of the Ten Commandments, which is a definitive part of either love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, or love your neighbor as yourself. So in the series, we are not going to try to go into all the various laws and ordinances. But I'm going to use this framework in the study of the Ten Commandments, and what I intend to do beginning with the next lesson is to look at each one of the commandments. We'll take one each time I have the opportunity to speak at this hour. And I want to look and see what is the correct meaning of that command, because several of them, mankind has kind of morphed and changed or has an understanding of it that is really not the correct understanding of what God said to Moses and what was written down on the tablets of stone. Understand what its meaning is. And note the application of that commandment to the nation of Israel. Part of it is their religious law, mostly set forth in the book of Leviticus. But another major part of it is their civil law. How do people live in society with one another? And put these principles in practice. And then I want to obviously conclude each one of these lessons with an application of that specific commandment to us as Christians in 2021, in the society in which we live, because there are implications for that. There are political issues that we live with. There are civil issues. There are societal problems that a proper understanding of what God is saying to us in these commandments, that we can use and make application in our daily lives as Christians. So that's the intention that I have for this study, as it takes my part. As you would count up the numbers, you know we're going to be doing this for several months and following this theme in these early sessions. I believe Jonathan is on the list for the prayer. So we'll have that prayer, and then we'll go to our Bible study.